You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Love Satan. So I'm driving down the road, look up, and the license plate of the car in front of me says this, LUVS8TN. Now, I'm not sure who that person was. I'm not sure what they were thinking. Maybe it was a gift from the devil. I don't know. I don't know where you got to be to put that on your license plate and ride around, but probably not in a great spot. So I'm going to read you a letter, and it's going to be dear, and then you put your name in this. Dear you, I write to you with the utmost urgency, for I've observed your struggles and desires from the shadows, and I believe I can offer you what you seek. Do not be alarmed by my presence, for I am but a humble messenger, a guide to the forbidden fruits that lie beyond the boundaries of your mortal existence. You may have heard tales of my nature, whispered rumors of darkness and deceit. Yet I assure you I am not your enemy, but your liberator, offering you the keys to unlock the shackles of restraint and indulge the pleasures that have long been denied to you. Have you not felt the stirring of desire within your soul, the hunger for more than what this mundane world can provide? I see the longing in your eyes, the yearning for fulfillment that eludes you at every turn. But fear not, for I can grant you everything your heart desires and more. Cast aside the chains of morality and embrace the exhilarating freedom of indulgence. Let go of your inhibitions and surrender to the ecstasy of sin. For in the darkness there is light to be found. Trust in me, and I will lead you down the path of enlightenment where every forbidden pleasure awaits. Together we shall revel in the ecstasy of rebellion and defy the constraints of righteousness. Do not resist the temptations that I offer, for they are but a taste of the boundless joy that awaits you in my embrace. Embrace your desires and let them guide you to your true destiny. Love, Satan. Now you say, well, where'd you get that letter? I had AI generate it. I said, I need a letter based on who Satan is in Scripture written to Christians. And then after the letter was finished, AI generated this letter. Listen to what it said to me. Please remember that this letter is entirely fictional and created for illustrative purposes only. It's crucial to approach themes of temptation and moral choices with discernment and wisdom, always guided by principles of love, compassion, and integrity. Even a robot can come up with that. So you think, well, do people really love Satan? Someone sent me a little clip the other day, a girl that was a former Satanist. She claimed in the clip that actually Satan appeared to her at one point in her young process, and I don't doubt that. He can't be one place at a time, but if he's trying to get your attention. And she went on to describe some pretty bizarre things. But one of the things that she described was that what angered the demons was that they would be sent on a mission to attack Christians with lust or whatever it was. And that when they came across Christians who were praying specifically for protection, she said it was like there was some kind of blue dome over them. They couldn't touch them. There was nothing they could do. The only way you can love Satan is to hate God. And do you really think that the devil loves anyone? Now go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to cover lots of ground today, lots of scripture. Hopefully when we're done, if you've been dabbling somewhere short of a license plate that says love Satan, you say, well, I don't feel that way. I'm just kind of on the fence. Now listen to me very carefully. The devil owns the fence. I did a sermon years ago called Splinters, I think it was. And that's what you get in your butt from sitting on the fence. You say, oh, I'm just right here straddling the two. To straddle the two is to default to Satan. Either Jesus is Lord or he's not. And if he's not, then somebody else is. So what are you proclaiming? What am I proclaiming with my life every day? Am I proclaiming that Jesus is Lord or somebody else? So he shows up, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, so the first time Satan speaks through us in the form of a serpent, it is a question. And what is the question in regard to? The word of God, what God has said. Has God indeed said? So what is he going to do to me? What is he going to do to you? You read the scriptures or not. But if you do read the scriptures and they clearly say certain things, and then you go to live that out and the devil whispers in your ear, well, that's not really what he meant. That's not what he said. Did God really say that? You can't take it to that extreme. So then all the problems start. Eve starts thinking about it and misquotes God. She misquotes God. And the devil, serpent down in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You won't. God said you'll die. You will die. You won't die is a lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He's just trying to withhold something from you. Now listen to me. God has never, will never try to withhold anything good from you. He sent his son to save you. If you're his child, he is not withholding something from you. You say, yeah, but these other people have this and that. He's your dad. He knows what's best for you and when that is best for you. Trust him. And don't go out there just on a grab trying to say, well, I'm tired of waiting on him. I'm going to make it happen now. Deuteronomy 6:5. So here we go. If you're taking notes, write it down. You can go back, listen, and review them. We're going to read some scripture. Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. All means there's nothing left for anyone else more than him or anything else. Love him with all your heart. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, so even Jesus, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So he goes in the wilderness, prays 40 days and 40 nights as God in the flesh, preparing for this temptation. And Satan comes and brings it every time Jesus quotes scripture and runs him off. Comes back with something else, quotes scripture, runs him off, and survives it. And then one of the coolest things in all scripture is down in verse 11, or do 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So after 40 days of fasting, all this time of the devil coming after him, who he had created in the first place, and now the devil's offering him things that were already his. And after all this mess, verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Gosh, I love this stuff. Because you know the angels can see what's going on. And Jesus is under that pressure, being tempted. He didn't say yes to the temptations. And he is hungry. The first was turned the stones into bread. Nope. And then his buddies from heaven came to minister to him. You're not going to get better than God. No one's ever going to love you like he does. No one's ever going to take care of you like he does. No one's ever going to provide for you like he does. Why do we keep running around on him? Why do we go back to this stupidity? Why do we buy the lies of the devil? Matthew 6, verse 13. Jesus taught him to pray. Part of that prayer, verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So why is this built in this prayer? Do not lead us into temptation. We just read a verse there where the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. You say, well, God can't tempt anyone, but he can put you in a situation where the enemy can tempt you to see what's going on with you. So you say, well, I don't want that. Then pray the prayer. You say, well, what do you mean? Pray the prayer. Well, what if I pray the prayer? What's going to happen? I don't know. What'd you just ask him to do? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So you wake up and say, okay, Lord, listen, I don't know what your plan for me today is, but here's your prayer for me today to you. So this is what I'm praying. And part of what I'm praying is, do not lead me into temptation today. I don't need any more grief. I'm here now, checking in, clocking in. I'm ready to go. And I'm asking you not only to not lead me into temptation, but to deliver me from the evil one, because I know he's going to be after me like he's been every day of my life up to now. So I'm praying what you said to pray, and I want protection. I want the blue dome, whatever it is. I want to live this day for you. Enough of me getting my head shot up day after day after day. You say, well, what'll happen? I don't know. Pray the prayer. See what happens. Now, why wouldn't anyone want all that to stop? Deliver me from the evil one. Why wouldn't you want that to stop? Because we like our sin. Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cut him off completely because he might bring me a little something, something. Luke 10. All right, let me stop here and tell you a story. Insert this. Let me tell you how done people are. So I went to NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I get on the airplane to go there. I get on the plane, about to take off, oil under the plane. Sit there for an hour and a half, and I'm terrorizing the plane, at least my row. I'm not going to be upset because, okay, there's a reason. So we sit there, finally take off. I met the man who was sitting next to me. He was going the same thing. We got off the plane. I said, hey, you want to Uber with me? He said, no, I got a rental car. I'll let you two. I was with John. He said, I'll let you two ride with me. I said, perfect. So these little details are not small. Timing. Ride with him, get out, walk in, long line to check into the hotel. John's in front of me talking to this guy and girl who are there for a totally separate convention. And I'm listening to the conversation, picking up on him, and all of a sudden it was go. I almost pushed John out of the way, and I got in front of him with this young man, Leo. And I said, Leo, you drop dead in this line. Where do you go? He said, I hope I go to heaven. I said, Leo, we're going to a Kenny Chesney concert tonight. And I said, you think we get in? You say, I hope so. I don't want to go with you. I want to see tickets. I don't need hope. You can't hope your way into heaven. Now, a longer story, really short. In line to check into the hotel, those two, that guy and that girl, got saved in the line in about 4 to 5 minutes. Now, why do you think people like that, total strangers, a little awkward, prayed out loud with me and people all around who were there for the convention knew exactly what was going on? We get out of that line. A guy I've known since he was 12 walks up. I said, David, wait right here. Leo comes out with her, and I looked at Leo, and I said, I know this kid. I've known him a long time. Trust me. Just tell him what you just did. I couldn't believe it. He stood there and looked at David and said, I just asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and I understand now that he died on a cross and was buried and raised from the dead for me. I was like, what in the world is going on? Then she says, I feel like something has changed on the inside of my body. Now, what is that? Why would people in a matter of minutes respond to the gospel in line to check into a room? Because they're dead or dying. They feel like they got no hope. And when they finally hear the sweet story of Jesus, of course they're going to say yes. Of course they're going to say yes. They got nothing. They got nowhere to go anymore. 2 days later, I'm getting something to drink. I've got a blazer on, a flag pin that I wear. Two 20-year-olds walk out of this round here and go, oh, you got a flag like us. They were trying to pitch me. There were exhibitors in the hall. Within about 10 minutes, these 20-year-olds who were exhibiting at the convention prayed and became Christians. These people are everywhere. They've been lied to. They've been told you can live like hell and everything's going to be okay. It's not true. They've been told the more women you sleep with, the better it's going to be. It's not true. They've been told if you smoke this weed, drink this stuff, take these drugs, it'll make your life better. It's not true. Steal, lie, do whatever you got to do, and it'll all be better. It's all a lie, and they're tired of being lied to, but the truth never shows up until they hear Jesus. And of course, they're going to respond. I mean, after that all happened, I was like, I'm going home. Well, weren't you there for a convention? Kinda. I know why I was there. I know why that plane was delayed. Did I read Luke 10 yet? I did not. Luke 10, verse, I was trying to stall, let y'all find it. Everybody there now? Luke 10, 16. He who hears you hears me. This is Jesus speaking. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So whenever that went down, boom, Satan is out of there. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So where do all lies come from? From hell. And then John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Pick a plan. Steal, kill, destroy, life, life more abundantly. It's you get to pick. Pick a plan. Life, life more abundantly. That's Jesus. Romans 1, go down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters. And then what's the next one say? Haters of God, straight out of hell. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and on and on and on, all this list. You don't want to be that list. Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So if you're a carnal Christian, you've made yourself an enemy of God. It's not going to go well. He is not my enemy. I should not want to make him my enemy. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. Indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do not get away from the simplicity that is in Christ. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, the life. Don't add anything to it. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And then go down to verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So you got to know Jesus' voice. You got to be able to discern the Spirit of God, the presence of God, because the devil can show up and disguise himself as an angel of light. Like, I'm here to solve your problems. And people come in with crystals and say, if you'll rub this on your head, you'll get in touch with the universe. No, you'll get a rash. It's going to do nothing. Rocks can't save you. Only the rock can save you. Stop believing all this garbage. If you want to get a palm reading, ask Jesus to show you his. Enough already. Jesus. That's it. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren. Okay, so now, you know, this is not some game. Steal, kill, destroy means they're walking around. They're out to get you. Keep the ones they've got and take you out before God takes you to heaven. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So you see something, you think, well, that's the temptation. It's the manifestation of the temptation, but the evil behind it is what's pushing you toward it. And so you say, well, I can't resist that. You got to stop shooting at shadows and take out the enemy. Pull the sword and take out the enemy. In Jesus' name, I'm not playing your games anymore. Hebrews 4, 15. This one encourages me. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It is possible. But the only way you're going to say no to sin like Jesus did is to have Jesus saying no to sin in and through you. He is the power over sin, death, the grave, every enemy you have. He's it. So you say, Lord, I can't do this. He says, well, get out of the way. I can. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 4. Man, you think I'm rough? Read the Bible. Adulterers and adulteresses. That's flat out. That's what he calls us. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So being a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. It's like cheating on God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. And a lot of people want to quote the next phrase without that phrase. A lot of people will say to you, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is not true. What the scripture says is, therefore, submit to God. If you are not submitted to God, the devil will just stare at you. You submit yourself to God, and then you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And there's a good chance if you're not submitted to God, you won't resist him in the first place. You want the devil to go away, submit to God. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not for you. He is against you. He does not like you. He does not love you. He does not have your best interest in mind. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It's always good every once in a while to read ahead and see what happens to everybody. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. It will be nice to go a day without being accused of things that Jesus has already forgiven. And then Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls. Now look at this. Specifically, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those people specifically. What advantage could possibly come from being beheaded for Jesus? You made the list. Didn't bow to the beast, didn't take the mark. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Go down to verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. I like that book of life. You know why I like that book of life? Because if you flip through those pages, you'll find me.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
You in the book of life? That's a big deal. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I said it the other day, and I'm telling you again, you better get your name in the book, or you're going to be judged by everything you ever did, and that will result in hell. And you say, well, I don't believe that, and I try to say this gently, you will. You may not believe in hell now, but you will. But you won't say someone didn't try to warn you. God is good. He's on your side trying to save you, and he wants to be on your inside. But he can't get in there unless you receive him. And as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, the sons of God.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.